Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our work in the 23rd Psalm concludes today, and I trust that you have found our excursion to be a source of strength and encouragement. Today, our focus on this sixth verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You'll recall that over these past 3 weeks, we've talked about the loving care extended to us by God. And in particular, we have looked through the lens of the sheep shepherd imagery proffered to us by David, the one-time shepherd who became the king of all Israel. Through Holy Ghost-inspired verse, David reminds us that the Lord is our shepherd and we are his sheep. As shepherd, the Lord makes provision for us. The Lord has a plan for us. The Lord is present with us, and the Lord has made preparation for us. Well, that's the Cliff Notes recap of Psalm 23, verses 1 through 5. And this week, we move to that final verse, wherein we are promised that the Lord's shepherding of us gives us the promise of an ever-present help, the promise of an established home, and the promise of an eternal hope. That's the promise that God offers to us as David pens, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you hear the promise there? An ever-present help, goodness, and mercy following us all the days of our lives. An established home, dwelling in the house of the Lord. And an eternal hope, an absolute guarantee that we shall be with God forever. It's there in the text. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's God's promise to us, God's sheep. It is both a present promise and a future promise. It's good for right now, but it's also good from now on. As sheep belonging to the fold of the great shepherd, you and I have the promise of an ever-present help, an eternal home, and an established hope. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's how David opens this discourse on the promises of the shepherd. Again, David is choosing this shepherd-related imagery to help us, God's sheep, see his point. Goodness and mercy. Just as sheep are herded along the right path by sheepdogs who typically work in pairs, one on each side and to the rear of the flock in order to keep them moving in the direction that the shepherd is leading, so too do goodness and mercy herd us along life's pathway. Goodness on one side, mercy on the other, urging us to follow where the shepherd leads. Yeah, goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. That's the promise of God. But if you really look into the Hebrew that underlies this scripture, the word that we read as follows carries the connotation of not just being behind someone, but also really of being pursued. Goodness and mercy don't just follow us, they pursue us. Goodness and mercy are on our heels because the shepherd knows that we, God's sheep, need close and constant supervision. Isaiah was talking right about us when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. The hymn writer Robert Robinson says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That sounds like sheep stuff. So the good shepherd has given us two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, assigned to us as an ever-present help. And remember, as with all of the benefits in this sheep-shepherd relationship, these promises of God are individually tailored. Just as each sheep is led along the right path for him or her and has his or her own table set by the shepherd in the presence of enemies, each of us has our own sheepdogs. Each of us is pursued by goodness and mercy that meets our individual needs. Listen, when I look back over my life, I can see how the Lord has blessed me with just what I needed. I see God's mercy, God's loving kindness. I'm a living testimony. I should have been dead and gone, but the Lord let me live on. And I thank God that because of goodness and mercy, somehow I'm still alive. Don't deserve it, but God did it anyway. The goodness of God, the mercy of God on my heels, right up on me, pursuing me, keeping me on the right path. You see, goodness and mercy will help you to remember that you come too far to turn around. And when we stray, goodness and mercy ensures that we get back on track. We don't have to stay out there lost. God's goodness and mercy will herd us back to the path. I know it's true for me, and I dare say it's true for you, because the Lord knows what we need, and the Lord tailors mercy and grace to suit our case. And don't miss it. Like sheepdogs, goodness and mercy are at your back. That means that good and mercy not only pursue us, but they also guard us. That's the kind of God we serve. My brothers and my sisters, we have the promise of the goodness of God and the mercy of God not only pursuing us, but also protecting us. You don't have to wonder how you made it over. It's those sheepdogs that pursue us and help us to follow the leading of the shepherd. The Lord's goodness continually supplies our need. The Lord's mercy continually covers us, even in our own foolishness. That's the promise of God. Goodness and mercy keeping us moving forward while guarding our back. You see, can't nothing sneak up on goodness and mercy. That's why David says they follow us all the days of our lives. That's the kind of God we serve. Our God goes ahead of us to lead and to guide us. The Lord is also present with us to protect us. And the Lord even guards our back. Listen, the Lord has you and me fully covered. He's on the right and on the left and in front and in back. And whatever we need, the Lord will see that we have. The Lord supplies our need and ensures that we are in position, protected, so that we can receive what the Lord offers. Anybody glad for the manifested promise of God? Goodness and mercy. We are blessed. We're favored. We're kept by the goodness and the mercy of God. Bruised and battered, but we're not broken. That's the goodness and mercy of God. We are cast down but not destroyed, because goodness and mercy are pursuing us and guarding our backs. God keeps us. God blesses us, enabling us to make it along life's journey. Goodness and mercy keep us on the path so that we can benefit as members of the household of God. That's the next phase of David's writing. We have an established home. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. You see, where David writes about sheep dwelling in the house of the Lord, he's not so much talking about sheep living in a building as he is speaking to us of relationship, being part of the family of God. The house of the Lord is not so much a physical place as it is a statement about relationship. Think about it. Sheep don't live in a house anyway. But they are and have been since time immemorial considered members of their owner's household. And it's interesting to note here again that David couples the sheep shepherd metaphor with real world human circumstances so that we can trace the contours of God's love toward us. You see, sheep like people need to be provided for by a shepherd. Sheep like people need to have their souls restored by the shepherd. Sheep like people have to walk through dark places. Sheep like people need to eat from a table prepared by the shepherd. And sheep like people need a home. We have an established home, a home, because home for the sheep is wherever the shepherd is. David is trying to help us to understand that God is able, that God meets our need in the same way that a good shepherd meets the needs of his flock. Let me see if I can help us better understand this allusion to the household that David makes. After graduating from Hampton University last May, thank you, Jesus, Anne Marie moved back to 2463 North Stephen Street. She moved back home. She's a member of the Teal household. Anne Marie has her own set of keys that allow her access to the home. Anne Marie has a room. There's food in the fridge that's already paid for. She can go in and get food anytime she's ready. Me and her mama are still making payments on her car. Her health insurance and her automobile insurance are paid for. Anne Marie can turn on the air conditioning when it gets hot and turn up the heat when it gets cold. She's got the password. She can log on to the Wi-Fi. She can call or text or email me when she's got a need or when she just wants to talk. All of this and more because Anne Marie has a home. Home is where she dwells. Oh, she may visit other places and go and see friends and other households, but home is 2463 North Stevens Street. She's a member of the household of Teal, and membership has its privileges. God's promise to us is similar. We have privileges as members of the Lord's household. We have access to God and access to God's stuff. That's God's promise to us. And can I park here for a moment? The privileges of being part of the household of God are both existential and eschatological, fancy words, which mean we have privileges that exist now and privileges that exist in heaven. See, don't let the verb will dwell in the house of the Lord throw you off when you read, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's not just a future promise about one day there'll be pie in the sky. No, no, this notion of will dwell in the house of the Lord in English is a poor translation of the Hebrew, which literally says, my dwelling is the house of the Lord. My dwelling is the house of the Lord. Right now, I'm in the house of the Lord. Right now, as a sheep, protected and loved and cared for by the shepherd, I'm in the house now. David says we are members of the Lord's household right now, and we'll be members of that household forever because we've got an established home.
Mm-hmm.
Home where God is.
Yes, brother.
Because we're members of the household of God, God has given us everything that we need. For his promise to us is, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life is both quantitative and qualitative. You see, as beneficiaries of qualitative abundant life in the present, in the here and now, we're blessed with more than enough. But when this corruptible flesh puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality, to use the language of Paul, we experience the qualitative aspect of abundant life, because life for us doesn't end in death. Rather, life for us overflows abundantly. It overflows all the way from earth to heaven, where absent from the body is present with the Lord. Because of the promise of God, we have so much life that even death won't stop it. Because we're members of the household of God, death is not an ending. It simply marks a new beginning. And whether on this side of the Jordan or the other, the life that we have because we have a home with God is best characterized as abundant. Right now, we are dwelling in the house of the Lord. We have a home now, but we also have a home in the hereafter. I feel like David, my dwelling, my home is the house of God. And I get happy when I consider the fullness of God's promise that some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'm in the home now, but I got a home over in Zion. Indeed, that is the promise and the ultimate hope of God's people, that we will live with God forever. The Lord, our shepherd, has provided for our every need. He's made us to lie down in green pastures, led us beside still waters, guided us along the way according to the plan for each of our lives. The Lord has been present with us. The Lord has prepared us and shielded us with protection and showered us with his promise. The Lord has been faithful even when we sheep have wandered away. The Lord keeps on bringing us back. The shepherd cleans us up, washes away our weariness. All that we need, the shepherd has freely given. I like the way the hymn writer says it. All I've needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, we get new mercies. And the promise of the text closes by reminding us that the shepherd will keep us forever. Forever. Yes, we must go through, because we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The promise is that we will get through. All things must work together for our good, because the Lord is shepherding and we're part of God's household. Since God is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. If God is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. If you're in the household of God, come what may, God is for you, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How does God make that happen? He just keeps making everything work together for your good. Everything, all things work together for our good, because that's the way that we make it home. The road is rough and the going gets tough and the hills get hard to climb. But here's the promise of the text. The shepherd will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you, because the promise is that you dwelling in the house now, but you going to dwell in it forever.
Yeah.
And the only way to get from now into forever is for the Lord to keep us.
Yes.
The Lord will keep us. Nothing can separate us from the shepherd. Not the challenges of life. Not stressful situations. Paul says, not even persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus shed his blood to get us a home.
Yeah.
He purchased our home with his own blood, and we are members of the household of God. It's his blood that put us in the house. And because the blood will never lose its power, we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a good place to shout right there, forever, because God has promised to keep you and me. He's promised to keep us forever. And since God is going to keep us forever, I believe I'll bless him forever.
Yeah.
I'll bless the Lord at all times and let his praise be in my mouth. I'll bless the Lord who heals my diseases. I'll bless the Lord who covers my iniquity. I'll bless the Lord, for he's good. I wish I had some folk that didn't mind blessing the Lord, because he's kept us. He is our God. He is the one who has made us, and not we are ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's why the psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. He's so good. David says, the Lord is shepherding me. Not just a shepherd by title, but a shepherd by doing. What does the Lord do? Everything that we need. Because the Lord is shepherding me, I have everything that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even when I gotta walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil, because the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. I've got protection and preservation because of the Lord. He prepares a table just for me in my enemy's face. Anoints my head with oil till my cup overflows with blessings, and I have the promise that surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me, shall stay after me all the days of my life, and ensure that I've got a home, a member of God's household now and forever. That's the promise of our shepherd to us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.